This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we go to low Earth orbit. There is a leak in the lifeboat Soyuz craft on ISS. Bob, a very good evening to you. What leak? What does it mean? Good evening.
Good evening. Well, I've got them behind the black, a bunch of different information. Earlier this week, they were about to do a spacewalk on ISS, and the Russians were, and they suddenly, ground control and also people on the station noticed something seemed to be spewing out of one of the two Soyuz capsules that are docked to ISS. It was not oxygen from the station itself. It appeared to be, and they now think it's coolant from an exterior radiator on the service module of that capsule. Some kind of coolant's coming out. It's a significant leak. They canceled the spacewalk. There is no change in oxygen in the station. The crews are safe. It appears it has to do with the thermal cooling system that keeps the service module of this lifeboat at the right temperature. Now, they're going to inspect this using the robot arm. They think, the Russians think, and this I think is a reliable speculation, it's not proven yet, but the Russians think this might have been caused by a micrometeorite hit that just happened to hit the external radiators on the Soyuz capsule on the service module. This is basically to keep the temperature of the service module going. Now, there is a question here, though. Will this impact using this as a lifeboat? And that's not known at the moment, and they're going to have to wait and see. The Russians have already said if they can't use this as a lifeboat, they will move up the launch, the March launch of the next Soyuz, and send it up empty instead of with its three crew, and then move the next Soyuz forward to take care of that crew in March. So the Russians have already offered to do this since it's their responsibility. And so we're not looking at a disastrous situation, but we're looking at the kind of things that make space exciting and of challenge. And so we'll have to wait and see how it plays out, John.
It is striking to me, Bob, the coordination and the care between two sovereign powers that are at war. Very striking.
Yeah, it's most interesting. Well, we're back to the mentality that existed back in 14 when the Russians first invaded the Ukraine. At that time, under the Obama administration, they made a lot of loud noises, but they really isolated the space program entirely from any of the international diplomatic disputes related to the Ukraine war. And with the exit of Dmitry Rogozin, head of Roscosmos, who was very bellicose and a real problem for both, for everybody, things have calmed down. And so we're back to that kind of situation now. They have a station, they've got to maintain people on board, and both sides don't want anything to go wrong.
Hakuto R, what is the mission, Bob?
This is a private commercial mission to the moon, a lander. It's built by a Japanese company called iSpace. One of its payloads, the UAE, paid to put its own mini rover on this. It launched last week, and now I've got them behind the black. The first images that came back from Hakuto are, these are essentially test images to show that everything is working. One is from a Canadian camera, that's one of the payloads that have paid iSpace to be on this. And another is from Hakuto R itself. It's one of its main cameras. They're both pictures of Earth. And so they just demonstrate, one, the thing is orienting the way they want it to, and they can point it properly, and the cameras work. So this is a good sign. It's not going to arrive to the moon until April. It will be landing inside, about a 60-mile-wide crater, I think, called Atlas in the northern mid-latitudes. And then it has two little rovers, one iSpace and one by UAE. It'll do some work for about a week or so on the moon.
A launch failure by China. What happened, Bob?
This is significant because of the fuel that this rocket is using. The rocket's called Zhukei-2, and I'm surely mispronouncing that. And it's being launched. It was being built by the Chinese pseudo-private company, Landspace. This is a private company in that they get investment dollars, and then they compete for contracts in Russia, in China. But they're not a private company because everything they do is supervised by the Chinese Communist government. Everything. They're not independent. They're using competition to try to encourage and profit to try to encourage some development. So they developed this rocket, but what's important about this rocket is it was using methane fuel. And there have been three American companies trying to build rockets using methane fuel, SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Relativity. But if this launch by this Zhukei-2 rocket had succeeded, they would have been the first to get into orbit with a methane-fueled rocket. Didn't work. It failed. We now have the possibility that Relativity, one of the new American startup private companies, and that's a private company, will actually succeed. They got their rocket on the launch pad right now, and they've been doing tests, and they could launch any time now. They have not set a date, but they could launch any time. If they don't go, SpaceX is next with its Starship Super Heavy, which uses methane fuel with its Raptor-2 engines. They wanted to launch by the end of the year. I don't think they're going to do that. They're doing the tests, but they're getting close. Blue Origin, well, we'll wait. We don't know when they're going to launch. They're behind schedule all the time, John.
The failure of the rocket, Bob, did this launch from the interior launch a rocket base where they fall on people, or was it off the ocean? Do we know?
It's one of their interior launch pads in Russia, in China, but closer to the ocean. So I'm not sure if any of the stages crashed. The problem occurred in the upper stage. The first stage worked as planned. They said separation, and there was some problem with the upper stage. Side engines did not work properly to orient it. That seems to be the case. And yes, there would have been things dropping down, but yes. I don't know if these are in the ocean or not. It's really hard. I don't have the actual orientation of the launch.
I know I repeat that story a lot, Bob, but it just offends me that China has a space program where they just rain rocket parts down on human beings. Typical of their indifference towards their own population. NASA, Boeing, UAE, Gateway. Do these all work, Bob?
This is a really interesting thing. Now, this gets back to Russia. Russia had negotiated a deal with NASA to build the airlock for the Lunar Gateway station that's hopefully going to orbit the moon as part of the Artemis program. Well, Russia is no longer building that airlock because of the Ukraine war. All ties have basically been broken. They're not part of the Artemis program anymore. And so NASA has to get an airlock built. And NASA doesn't want to spend the money to do it. So it now looks like the United Arab Emirates is negotiating with both NASA and Boeing to pay for Boeing to build the airlock in exchange for the UAE having more participation in the Lunar Gateway station. This probably will mean they get experiments on board, they get astronauts on board, they may even get an astronaut to the moon earlier than planned. So that's underway right now, and I think for us it's a win-win because we'll get an American company being paid to build the airlock, not Russia. If Russia had done it, Russia would have built it. We would maybe have money, but then it would have been a Russian getting the money. In this case, it's going to be an American company getting the money, and UAE will be part of it, and that's kind of good, too.
I want to be troublesome. Boeing, Bob, we know that Boeing is not someone that brings projects in on time.
You raise a good point, John. Boeing, though, does do good works in space. For decades, they just don't do it efficiently. But you know what's different about this is that UAE is the customer and it's paying the bill, and it's going to not be happy if Boeing doesn't get the job done for the price involved. And so this is going to just make this is, I think, maybe a good thing for Boeing. It'll force them to function like a real private company. That's what my hope is, John.
All right. Now, here's a positive. And I mean to emphasize the positives in space. There's enough negative out there. Artemis Accords welcome Rwanda and Nigeria. Bob, the Artemis Accords is picking up momentum. I think good for it and good for the people who sign.
Yes, there are 23 nations now that have signed. These bilateral agreements between the U.S. and each nation were originally designed by the Trump administration to emphasize the rights of private investors in space and then try to do an end around of the Outer Space Treaty, which essentially makes private investment in space difficult. And you get enough countries involved in this and it becomes a very strong alliance to overcome the Outer Space Treaty's restrictions. restrictions. It becomes difficult to even anyone to pay attention to the outer space treaty anymore when you've got these kind of agreements. Now, the Biden administration is not really focused on the same things as the Trump administration, and the language of the Artemis Accords is vague enough that they could ignore, they could end up not achieving its original goals. But nonetheless, this alliance is a good thing in the long run because it is an alliance of the West and capitalist religion.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. There's a leak in the lifeboat at ISS. Bob will report on it when next we speak. We're headed to Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.